Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be connected with you one more time. We just thank you so much for just praying for Ebenezer. Ebenezer is going through a lot now. We've got a lot of bereaved families that are struggling, and we ask you to intercede for them, and not just for the Ebenezer family, but also for those in Hawaii who are going through and other parts of our nation and the world. But the Lord is faithful. For all the arrangements, please go to our website, and I have put the updated times there. And again, pray for all the families that are going through. Thank you, as always, for staying connected to ebcnc.com. We've got so much that's going on. We've got Monday Manna, where we have different teachings to encourage us, edify us. We have our Tuesday Noonday Bible Study, where we're in the book of Genesis, just going through the history, taking excerpts, and being able to apply that into our lives. Also, on our Wednesday night Bible study, our virtual connection at 7 o'clock, we're going through the book of Luke, the teachings of Christ. And then we have an in-person Bible study on Thursdays at 6 o'clock. That's Thursdays at 6 o'clock, where we're going the book of 1 Corinthians. And I encourage you, if you can make it, come on out at 6 o'clock and travel with us as we go through God's Word. And then our 8:45 in-person services on Sunday and our 10:45 in-person service on Sunday, and of course, our 10 o'clock online. Thank you, as always, for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver. He loves it when we purpose in our heart and we don't give out of necessity or grudgingly, but we give from a cheerful heart of thankfulness. And you have done that, and I thank you. Whether you're giving through our app or you're giving through our secure mailbox, sending it in, or you're in our in-person services, we say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, I'm ready to get into God's Word today. I'm telling you, you are going to be blessed if you see my background. Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, you know what? God has just interceded in my issue and my struggle. God is doing a miraculous thing. That's what we're going to talk about today, when God steps in amazing ways and does what man can't do. There ought to be some shouts of praise out there. Well, I want your hearts to be prepared, and we'll see you soon.
Coming out of Philippians. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count it not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord. What did I ever do that was worth the love from you, all the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. And now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Try me, Lord. If you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you, maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself, on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus. I wasted it, so help me, Jesus. My And now that I know that I needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand, Jesus. My soul's in your hand.
Oh, let us worship and adore him. I'm just thinking about Jesus and all that he's done in our lives. And it is so good just to be thankful in spirit. Before we go any further, I just want to go on a time of prayer so that we can focus on this word as we're back into fulfilling our calling and really embracing how God wants to use us in these times. These are interesting, strange times, but the scriptures are clear. God has already told us that there were going to be times like this. But guess what? You are called. You are the elect. So let's pray together. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your immense love in this season and this time. Father, we pray for lost souls. If there's someone that's looking in right now, I pray, Father God, that they be saved, that they be convicted in heart, and they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Lord, we thank you that it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift. Oh, that they receive that gift today. Now, Lord, I welcome your Holy Spirit. You've been in this service. You've been ministering to our hearts, and we thank you for that. Help us to receive this word today. So, Holy Spirit, would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. You be exalted, Lord, in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we have been going through this, fulfilling our calling, I believe that you've been blessed. I've been blessed, just really embracing, and I'm just learning how to lean more to the Lord. There's a song that, man, I'm hesitant to sing. It's I Surrender All. So I just kind of hum it sometime and I play the tune. But that's where God wants us to get to, that point that we can surrender all. Let's go back to our memory verse, that 1 Corinthians 6:19. We've been reading it aloud so that we can get it into our mind and it can seep down into our heart. On our Thursday night Bible studies, we've been going through the book of Corinthians, and it's been a very impactful book as we've been applying it to our lives. So let's look at that 1 Corinthians 6:19. If you don't mind, if you would read it aloud with me. Let's read. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Isn't that good to know that we are not our own? God has us. Let's get into today's scripture, 2 Kings chapter 6. And I want you to look at this 16th verse. 2 Kings chapter 6 and 16. We're going back and we're going to pick up Elisha from last Sunday. We have actually gone some months into his ministry. He is more matured in that ministry. But let's look at that 2 Kings 6:16. It reads, "So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" Isn't that good? I want you to listen to that again. 2 Kings 6:16. "So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" I want to speak from a subject today, help for the call. Yes, help for the call. Anybody need help? Can you just put in the chat, help, wherever you're sitting or standing, just say help, help. That is a very strong word. You know, if you were drowning and you didn't have too much water already in your mouth and going into your lungs, you would cry out, help. And you would expect someone to immediately come and assist you. And today we're going to deal with the fact that that's what God does. He is our helper in a time of need. But I'm going to argue that he is all always there, as the scriptures say. He will never leave us nor forsake us. As we have been thinking about Elisha from last Sunday, I want to go through just some verses from last Sunday and some points so we can transition today. Last Sunday, we were in 2 Kings chapter 2 and around that ninth verse. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And we talked about being sold out to the Lord. Just deciding, okay, God, you're everything. I am yours. Some points in review from last time. We talked about focus. Remember, just focusing in on God and His plan as we were looking at Elisha and Elijah overcoming the noise. We talked about there's so much noise in our lives close to the miracle. And then we dealt with believe big. I've just been thinking about that. I want to believe big and trust God that He can do everything. He can do the impossible. We're gonna deal with that today. And then that final one, we talked about fulfill your call. And so this is a transition into the fulfillment of the call in Elisha's life. Time frame is 850 BC. Remember, we talked about, as you go through the book of 2 Kings, there's so many failed kings. I think about 19 kings that have just failed miserably. And God allows Elijah, which we saw on last Sunday, to go up in the whirlwind, but Elisha is left and he is doing double the miracles that Elijah did, and he's speaking into the lives of kings. Let's jump into this section on 2 Kings 6 and 8. It reads, "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, 'My camp will be in such and such a place.' And the man of God sent the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.'" 2 Kings 6:10, "Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice." I want to speak from this point with these scriptures. We need a word from the Lord. Yes, we need a word from the Lord. I put that because that really encompasses this whole thing as we talk about help for the call. We got to hear from God. We've got to know His voice. We've got to discern His voice. And when we do that, we can do so much as we are literally allowing Him to order our steps as we come in concert with His will for our lives. This particular scripture, Ben-Hadad, he is the enemy king. He is using guerrilla tactics. So he would just kind of swoop in certain areas and set up his men to overtake Israel, to steal from them, to plunder from them. This was a terrible issue. But God, what He does, He actually speaks to the prophet Elisha and tells Elisha to tell the king to not go to those certain areas so Ben-Hadad cannot plunder the Israelites. He gets a word from the Lord. Look at this, 2 Kings 6:9 again. "And the man of God sent to the king Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down here.'" What if your calling is needed to protect someone or even to protect a nation? I think so many of us, we take lightly what God has put on the inside of us, the gifts and the skills, and maybe we like, somebody else can do it, somebody else can step out, but God needs you in this plan, especially as we see so many horrific things going on in society. I'm seeing at a younger age people on drugs and just doing crazy things, and I'm thinking in my mind, God, where are the saints? Where are the ones that can speak revival in the land, can intercede, that hearts can be open and that people can cry out for God? What must I do to be saved? Eugene Goodman, 1980. Some of you remember him, January 6, 2021. He was the police guard that decided that he was going to use his gift of subversion. And I'm going to talk about it. In the courthouse, when the riots came in, they broke in, he had to make a decision. You know, am I going to shoot my gun? Am I going to do this or that? But at that point, his call actually began to flourish and he became a celebrity. Journalist Randolph Sturdivant, he actually writes of this incident and really concises why this man, Eugene Goodman, is celebrated. He said, in short, he tricked them, willing to become the rabbit to their wolf pack, pulling them away from the chambers where armed officers were waiting, avoiding tragedy and saving lives, lives which include their own. I'm talking about help for the call. What if your calling is one like this, that literally, if you don't do what God has called you to do, there's some other folks that are going to get hurt or even die simply because you're not stepping up to do what God would have you to do. Saints of God, I want us, when it's all said and done, to stand before the Lord and hear him say, well done. Can you put in the chat, well done, wherever you're sitting or standing, just say, well done. We want to hear those words, well done. Elisha is that man. He is that man that hears the voice of the Lord and he gives the king of Israel direction so that Ben-Hadad, the enemy, cannot overcome the Israelites. That 2 Kings 6:11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servant and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Here's the point. When the enemy hears about your call, yes, when the enemy hears about your call. So we're thinking, okay, God, I need help for the call here. And so now in this process, we're thinking, okay, Lord, what happens when the enemy hears about that I'm actually walking in my calling? That can actually be a good thing. And I know sometimes we're like, man, I don't want to deal with the devil, but the enemy is going to mess with you anyway. So you may as well be in the will of God. When you walk in your calling, listen to this, even the enemy is going to respect you. We've been studying through the book of Luke on our virtual connection on 7 o'clock. And Jesus, he is that example. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they did not like him. They wanted to kill him, but they respected him because every question they brought to him, he was able to turn it upside down. He was able to give wisdom that they could not even understand. They had immense respect for him. Ben-Hadad believes as he's talking that there's a spy in his ranks. Yeah, he's like, who did it? Who is going off and telling the king of Israel my plans? And so he's trying to clean house. And then somebody speaks up. One of his servants says, no, none of us have done this. It's the man of God on Israel's side. It is Elisha, 2 Kings 6:12. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Talk about insider information. I'm talking about help for the call. Elisha is that man, and God is using him in an amazing way. How can you be used in such a way to assist others that are around you that the enemy can't even make secret plans? Some of you are concerned about your jobs. You're concerned about relationships, family issues, but I'm telling you, God is able to cover you, and even when the enemy is coming against you, God is faithful. Isaiah 59:19, we've talked about this a lot. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. Here it is. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Isn't that good news? God has raised up a mighty standard by using Elijah. Who amongst us will be used to raise up a standard against the enemy? I'm talking about help for the call. Look at this next verse, 2 Kings 6:13. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. Benadad said, we're going to get him. We got to shut him down because he's messing up our plans. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And he came by night and surrounded the city. So one man, Elisha, they are after him. He sends a whole army of people and horses to get this one man that is turning his plans upside down. 2 Kings 6:15. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Here's the point. Under attack. Yes, under attack. This is an issue and a blessing at the same time. When you really walk in your calling, God's going to give us help for that call. But there's going to be some times that we're going to be under attack. Yes, the enemy is going to come at us. Now I want you to think about this. We've got Dothan, and we're going to deal with Samaria. They're about 12 miles apart. Okay, 12 miles apart, and God is going to do some miraculous dealings here. Our callings will sometimes put us in places, just like this scripture, that we feel like we're surrounded. Yeah, the servant, he's looking, he comes out, and they're completely surrounded by troops from Benadab, the enemy. Look at this, 2 Kings 6:15 again. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? You ever felt like that? You ever felt like, okay, God, I've tried to give 100% to you, but it still seems to be falling apart. Lord, I've tried to give 100% to this relationship, but my husband is still doing crazy things, or my wife is doing crazy things, or my kids are going astray. God, what's going on? It's just the enemy setting up an attack plan for you, but understand God knows everything. A celebrated author, Rick Yancey, in his book, The Fifth Wave, written in 2013, he actually makes this statement, and I think this is very applicable to this servant that's going through. It says, God doesn't call the equipped son, God equips the called, and you have been called. Isn't that good? Can I read that again for you? God doesn't call the equipped son, God equips the called, and you have been called. I want you to know that you have been called. There's a calling on your life. No matter how the enemy attacks you, you've got to know that God's help is already there. God's help is all around you. Remember Mordecai and Queen Esther. Yes, you know all the issues that was going on in the land, and Esther, she had been raised up by Providence to be the queen, and this elaborate plot was set surrounding the Jews, just trying to get rid of all the Jews. And so Mordecai sends a message to the queen, his family member, and says this in Esther 4:14, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet, here it is, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Help for the call. I believe that this is our time. I believe God has allowed us to be in the United States of America for this season and this time to be used for the calling that God has inside of us, to fulfill that calling, that souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Look at this, 2 Kings 6:16. So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Can you put in the chat more, M-O-R-E? Can you just scream out more wherever you're sitting or standing at? This is critical here as we think about how God is moving. 2 Kings 6:17, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Here's the point. There are angels watching over me. Yes, there are angels watching over me. Can you just repeat that? There are angels watching over me. That is good news in dark times that we're living in, to know that God is around us. See, prayer becomes powerful when we walk in our call. Yes, it does. When we embrace and we know, hey, you know what? I'm not just going through this life just haphazardly, but God, you're using me for a specific purpose. Psalms 34:4 actually talks about powerful prayer and understanding angels are all around us. He says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Any amens out there? The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. We're literally going to deal with that within the scriptures, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Anybody trust in the Lord? This is so important to note that God is with us. 1 John 4:4 says it like this. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Isn't that good? Even though the enemy is going to come at us, the demons are going to try to surround us, we've got God on our sides and angels all around us. The Hemp Fields in 1980, I know I'm dating myself, but they sang some powerful songs, and this was one of them. They said, in a world full of trouble, we travel alone. God is our Father. We're on our way home. If forces of evil ever close on you, Jesus has promised this is what he will do. Listen to this. The prophet Elisha in the Bible, we're told, approached by an army, just stood there so bold. For he heard God whisper, fear not, my son. Just look toward heaven. See what I've done. I'm telling you, when we embrace God's providence, and they ended with this stanza, put angels all around you to keep you from harm, to guide and direct you till you're safe in his arms. With angels all around you, you're never alone, and you'll be protected till you make it home. Any hallelujahs out there? Look at this, 2 Kings 6:18, as we're building. It says, so when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. I'm telling you, that's some kind of prayer. The enemy has surrounded it. And now we've got angels all around the prophet and his servant. Now Elijah said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. So God is setting up something. Here's the point. When the enemy has to follow you. Yes, when the enemy has to follow you. Now this is important. I want you to get this. God has turned this around. Ben-Hadad sends all of these troops, these armies, surrounded Elisha and his servant. And so now God allows him to pray a powerful prayer. The enemy is blinded, and literally they have to follow. They have to follow Elisha and the servant. They don't know where they're going. In the book of James, there's a scripture that actually speaks about Elisha's predecessor, Elijah, and his prayers. And remember, Elisha asked for a double portion. Listen to this, James 5:16. Confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I believe, and this is a word for some, I believe some of you that are listening in, viewing in right now, have a gift of prayer, intercession, and can pray powerful prayers, and God wants you to pray more. And I realize that. I spoke about this last Sunday in our in-person service, that sometimes when you have the gift of prayer, people may say that you pray too long, or you're too into it, but please understand, don't let them get you off track. We need people that can cry out to God. We need people that can lay before the Lord and ask for more souls and miracles and signs and wonders. We've got help for the call. God has turned the tables, as said earlier, for Elisha and his servant. Look at 2 Kings 6:19. Now Elijah said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. The king of Israel His name is actually Jehoram. And he has his troops and his armies there in that Samaria. That's where they are. It's kind of like a base for his army. And so God allows Elisha to take the enemy's troops who are blinded right into the place where all of Israel's troops are. I believe God wants to use you in your calling to bring a miracle like this. But I'm going to show you, like, wow, now the troops are there of Israel. They can overtake. Yes, they can, but look at this, 2 Kings 6:20, as we're pulling this all together, help for the calm. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." Man, there's so much I can say about that, but I want you to keep that, open their eyes. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and they were inside Samaria. So the last time that they saw, they were surrounding Elisha. Remember, they had gone to Dothan, about 10 miles from Samaria. And so he leads them from Dothan to Samaria, opens their eyes, and they look, and they're like, oh my goodness, that we were coming against the Israelites. Now we're surrounded by the Israelites. 2 Kings 6:21, "Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, 'My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?'" The king of Israel, Jehoram, he's like, okay, my enemy is right before. Do I have permission to kill them? Evidently, God led them by you here so that we could overtake them. But please understand, when you got a call on your life, you can hear the voice of the Lord. You often don't do that which is logical to the world by their thought patterns. Look at this. It says, "But he answers, 'You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master.'" 2 Kings 6:23. "Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel." Final point. Please get this one. Bless your enemy. Yes. Bless your enemy. I'm going somewhere with this. When you got help for the call, God gives you that help. He gives you miracle angels that are around you. He makes divine providence happen within your life, not so you can hurt people, but so that you can bless people. So often people are praying, "God, help me to get back at somebody." No, we need to be praying, "God, help me to bless those that have hurt me." I'm going to take you there. 2 Kings 6:21 again. "Now when the king of Israel saw them, he says, 'My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?'" But I love this, 2 Kings 6:22, that last part. Elijah said, "No, I got a word. I got a word. I'm walking in my calling. I've heard God." This is what he says to do for your enemy. "Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Isn't that good to know how God can turn the tables? And I believe even now, as we're walking in our calling, God is telling us to bless our enemies. See, when you give an example of love to your enemy, they can't help realize that we serve a mighty God. His name is Elohim. Even in the New Testament, in Romans, it says this in 12:19, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head." Look at this, 21. "And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Well, as I think about this blessing and the enemy troops, now that they have been fed and they're sent back to their master, I don't think they're going to come back to Israel anymore. I don't think they're going to be after Elisha, because they're going to say, "You know what? This man of God and this king of Israel, they blessed us. They could have killed us." Isn't that what the grace of God is all about? Well, I could talk a lot about Elisha, but I want to transition quickly. There's a better Elijah. You know his name. Can you put in the chat, Jesus? Can you scream out his name, Jesus? I am so grateful for the Christ, the anointed one of God, that gives us help for our call. But most importantly, he gives us an example of what it is to have help. Remember in Luke 6:27, he told us about blessing our enemies because we've got help. We can do that. "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, off of the other, and from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asked of you, and for him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. I'm talking about help for the call. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Isn't that good news to know that God has us in every situation that we can bless our enemies? But he didn't stop there. He goes to Luke 6:33, and if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those who from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that for you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive such much back. But love your enemies, he says. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil, and therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. I'm talking about help for the call. When you're walking in your call, your enemy is not going to slow you down, but actually your enemy is going to be blessed. I am telling you, it was so good to see Elisha say, I got a word, and I want you to bless the enemy. But the ultimate help for the call occurred in the Garden of Gethsemane. Look at Luke 22:41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. I talked about that powerful prayer. Jesus is that example, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. I'm talking about there's angels all around us. Jesus is that ultimate example, help for the call. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. But there's sometimes Jesus shows us that in the call that God is not going to supply angels for us. He can, but God is going to allow us to walk out on faith and trust him. Remember when the fight breaks out in the guard with Peter and the other disciples, they pull out their sword. There's an enemy's ear that's cut off. In Matthew 26:52, but Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus said, this is not the time. Please understand, the angels are all around us, and they could come and take over, but this is not the time. I'm walking in my call, and I realize my call means that I'm going to have to suffer for you. Matthew 26:54, how then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus as such? I'm so glad to know that Jesus does not stop here, but we find out that he goes to the cross of Calvary, and he takes nails in his hands and nails in his feet for us, because he is showing us what help for the call is all about. You may say, Pastor, what is he doing here? I'm glad you asked. Matthew 27:45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why has you forsaken me? I'm telling you, I'm thankful for such a God of this that has already carried our griefs and bore our pains on that cross. And at this point, it seems like as the 100% man and the 100% God is hanging on that cross, we see all of humanity and all God meet together. And at that point, we see deliverance coming in our lives. I'm so glad that he died on the cross of Calvary. And if he had not gotten up out of the grave, there would be no hope, no help for our call. But I'm telling you, he stayed there the first day, the second day, but he gets up on the third day with all power and glory. I've been trying to get to this scripture, Hebrews 4:1. Because he got up and now he is ascended to the right hand of the Father, he's actually praying for us. Yes, we've got angels around us like Elisha had, but we've got Jesus praying for us. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Yes, we saw him go through all of that. We saw him cry out on the cross of Calvary, but we saw him get up with victory. He knows what we go through. He knows our stresses. He knows our fears. That's why he's given us help for our call. But Hebrews 4:16, there ought to be some shouts of praise in this place. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain
obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Can you put in the chat a quick type and say boldness, boldness? We gotta boldly go to God and say, God, I thank you for the call on my life. God, I thank you for encompassing me. God, I thank you for giving me everything I need to fulfill your plan. Saints, this is our season. Yes, this is our season at a time that I am seeing so many people struggle. So many people go through. I'm like, God, what are you up to? And he's ministering to my heart. He just wants his saints to get into prayer. He wants us to get in his word. He wants us to have passion for our call. He wants us to really embrace him and surrender it all. Lay it down at his feet and say, God, help me to do what you've called me to do. Saints, there are so many more people that are depressed and struggling. And we've got the answer. You know what the answer is? Jesus. Yeah, there's a song that says, Jesus is the answer for the world today. He is the answer. But we have to stand up. We've got to be bold and ask God for his power, his help for the call. As we're in these days, that we can share Christ. Yes, we can let them know Christ makes the difference. Christ is everything. He is real. And guess what? He's coming back. Saints, I want you to pray with me today that you can be used in the miraculous way, even as Elisha was used. God wants to use you. For those who don't know Jesus, I pray that today is your day, that God has opened up your heart. And I encourage you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from this, and you will be saved. That's where your call starts. That's where the journey starts, to really embrace who Christ is. Submit yourself and know help. Help for your call, and help to realize that without Christ, we will be nothing. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for using Elisha in his call. But Lord, I thank you for those that you are using today. I thank you for the passion that's been lit for some in their hearts today to say, God, I want to be used more. I want to walk in my gift. I want to walk in my skill. I want your calling to be fulfilled in my life. Lord, even though the enemy may be coming up trying to shake up things, we know that you've already put a standard, and that's through your son, Jesus. Jesus, we say thank you for praying for us. Thank you that we can boldly come for help to the throne of help for in a time of need such as this. We come to you and we ask you. We need you. Holy Spirit, thank you for dwelling on the inside, that you'll continue to order our steps. Forgive us for our sins, for the times that we've grieved you. We've gotten out of our call, Lord, or we've just kind of sat and we buried our calling. But today, Lord, we pull it out and we step out in you. We step out in faith. Thank you for who you are. Father, thank you for saving souls, delivering and setting people free today. Thank you, God, for your saints being called to the army of the Lord. Do what only you can do, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Or if it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Where would I be if it had not been for the Lord on my side? Tell me, where would I be? Where would I be? He kept my enemies away. He let the sun shine through a cloudy day. Oh, he brought me in the cradle of his arms, and he knew I've been brought on and scorned. Oh, if it had not been for the